Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the last chapter of the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Luke chapter 24. We're going to read three passages in this chapter, and I believe that the Lord has a message for us today. I'm going to look at verse 1 through 3, then verse 13 through 16, and then verse 30 through 32. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Now we'll read the other two passages when we get to them, but let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray just as the people that we're going to read about, that the people listening to me would see Jesus, that they would hear the Word of God, that they would see Jesus from the Scriptures, and that He would come alive in their hearts. Lord, I believe that this sermon that You've given me is an evangelistic one. I believe that this chapter can be viewed as evangelistic, and Lord, I am an evangelist. Help me to preach the Word of God. And please help those people listening to understand that they might be saved. Lord, we give You the praise, glory, and honor in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. The very previous verse, the verse right before what I just read, in chapter 23, verse 56, and it says, "And they returned and prepared spices and ointments, and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment." Now, generally, when you bury someone, today we embalm, today we do various things. And they didn't necessarily embalm bodies back then, during the time of Christ, but they did some preparation. They had spices that they would wrap. They would wrap the body similar to a mummy, I suppose, but they would wrap the spices in with the body. And I don't know how much preservation it did. I'm sure that it cut down on the smell. But they did some preparation. But generally, as I said, the preparation for the body is done before burial. But these women were coming to the grave of Jesus Christ, intending to prepare His body for burial after He had been in the ground for 3 days. And obviously that's a little strange. You wouldn't expect someone to die and be buried today, then they dig them up and then embalm them. It's a little out of order. But it says that they prepared everything, but then they rested. It says they rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. According to the law of Moses, according to the Levitical law, they rested. Not only one day, they rested two additional days. A lot of people say that Jesus Christ was crucified on a Friday and rose on a Sunday. And that's honestly, that's not enough time. History bears out, and the Word of God bears out, that Jesus was crucified on Wednesday evening. Wednesday at 9 o'clock in the morning, he was nailed to the cross, spent 6 hours on the cross, and then died about 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, and was buried just before sundown, or just before the start of Thursday. Remember, the Jewish calendar started counting the days at sundown, He spent all day Thursday, which was the day of Passover, which was a holiday when the women could not work. And to prepare a body for burial, they considered that work. The next day was the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and of course they could not work. That was Friday. Then Sabbath was Saturday. So that's 3 days in a row they could not do any work. And then Sunday, Sunday started in the Jewish calendar and the Jewish clock, I guess you can say. Sunday started right at sundown Saturday night. They didn't really think that they could do anything at night. So they got up probably 6 o'clock in the morning, perhaps 7 o'clock in the morning, whenever it was, and went to the burial. Went to the burial ground and expecting to be able to do the work that they were prohibited from doing during the holy days and the Sabbath. But the Bible says, and that's what we preach, is that he wasn't there. He had risen from the dead. Jesus Christ had come back from the dead. Now, I believe that this sermon that I'm preaching, that I believe the Lord gave me, matter of fact, he gave it to me about 17 years ago. I was preparing for a missions trip at the time and seeking God, Lord, what would you have me to preach? What would you have me to tell these people in whatever country I was headed to at the time? And I believe that he gave me this sermon and these three portions of scripture here in Luke 24. But I believe what he gave me was intended to be preached to third world peoples in third world countries. And I've been to Haiti, I've been to Mexico, and I've been to Honduras. And maybe the Lord would have me to go to some other country. And I believe that it's a wonderful thing to take the gospel to the foreign field. I believe that it's a great honor to be able to preach on foreign field. But if you look at this chapter by itself, it starts out with the women coming on Sunday morning after Jesus had risen from the dead, expecting to find him there, expecting to find the body there, and they didn't find it. It says, and they found not the body of the Lord Jesus, because he had risen from the dead. The very next verse, it talks about two angels that they found standing there, and they had a conversation with him, and the angel said that he's not here. He says, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. And the angels pointed the women to what Jesus himself had said, that Jesus prophesied of himself, foretold of himself, and really echoing what the Old Testament prophets had said, that Jesus would be crucified, nailed to a cross for the sins of the world, and that he would rise again on the third day, or after the third day. And I understand that many people believe that Jesus was crucified on Friday, but that's tradition, and tradition quite often, or probably most often, is at odds from what the Bible actually says. And it says in verse 8, and they remembered his words. This chapter is about bringing the Word of God back to remembrance, bringing the Word of God, helping the people to understand what the Word of God says, and them being illuminated and enlightened and understanding. And as I believe God revealed this sermon to me, that's the message of the gospel. It says in Isaiah chapter 9, I believe it's verse 2, it says, them that sat in darkness saw a great light, and upon them that sat in the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. The gospel is the good news, but Christ is the light of the world. The gospel is the good news of bringing the light of the world to a lost and dying world. Bringing the good news, bringing the light of the gospel, bringing the word of God to those that do not know him, and then their lives being changed. If they're bound by drugs, or they're sitting in prison, or whatever circumstance a person happens to find himself in, the gospel comes to that person and he is changed. He is set free. I understand that a great thing would be if a man was in jail for stealing or for killing or whatever, and then he be set free and he walk out of the prison free. That is a picture of what God does for us. We're bound by sin. The things that we have done wrong, where we have transgressed the Bible and the laws of God, if we've stolen or lied or cheated or in our hearts we've had evil thoughts, and all men have done this. All men are sinners. But God forgives us of our sins. God cleanses us from our sins. He makes us a new inside. He changes us, and we have a desire not to walk in sin anymore, but to live for God and to do the things that are right. And that is the wonderful message of the gospel. It's a message of hope and freedom and deliverance and salvation. In verse 12, it mentions Peter, that he went, in another book it says that he ran ahead. He ran ahead of everyone else, and he went to into the tomb. The word sepulcher is some sort of tomb. I don't know exactly. It was maybe in the side of a hill, similar to a cave, probably man-made, but they had rolled a stone in front of it. The Roman soldiers did. Remember, they believed that Jesus would rise from the dead, so they set a stone to make sure that, hey, he's not getting past this stone. But his own disciples, they didn't understand and they didn't believe. But the angels rolled that stone away to show the world that Jesus had risen from the dead. And Peter, it says in verse 12, he took a look. And he walked away wondering, it says, wondering in himself at that which had come to pass. He didn't understand either. Verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. I've got a note in my Bible that says 13 kilometers. What's that? Maybe 5-6 miles, something like that. I don't know. And that's about an hour's walk, maybe a little bit more, I suppose. If all you have to do is walk and you don't have a car and you learn how to walk, you figure out that, hey, I can walk a couple of miles. It's not a big deal. So they had about an hour's walk. But it says in verse 14, and they talked together of those things which had happened. What things that had happened? We know that Jesus had been crucified, and we know that they didn't understand, well, how could the Savior, how could this great prophet, how could the man that healed the sick, raised the dead, cast out devils, performed all these miracles, how could this man that taught on the Mount of Olives and fed us the great manna from heaven, how could this man have been crucified? We don't understand. We don't understand. And that's the message of this chapter, is that his own disciples did not understand. And those that are lost today, they don't understand what God has done for them. But God reveals himself to people. And in verse 15, and when it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he goes on, it goes on and says that he asked them, hey, what's up, guys? You guys are all depressed and you're all disheartened, and why are you so sad? And in verse 18, one of them said, what? You're not from around here. I mean, you don't know what's happened? And Jesus said, what happened? But verse 19, it says, and they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word. Let me start that again. Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how that the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted. We thought, we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today's the third day since these things were done. They didn't understand. They knew that He was the Messiah. They knew it. They knew that He was God come in the flesh. They knew that He was that prophet that Moses had prophesied about that would deliver Israel. But they did not understand about Calvary. They did not understand that it was a necessity that He bleed and die. Paul says, I believe it's in Romans, Paul says, and other places, that without the remission of sins, I'm sorry, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. If you want your sins to be forgiven, if you want to be delivered, if you want the debt of sin to be paid, there is no remission of sins unless blood is shed. Now, that talks about in the book of the law, it mentions that, for instance, Abraham brought a sacrifice, and there had to be blood that was shed. An animal had to die. In the book of Exodus, we can read about the great deliverance that God gave the children of Israel. They were delivered from Pharaoh and all of Egypt by the blood of the lamb that was put on the doorposts and the lintel of every house that every Jew lived in. And they were delivered from the death angel, and they were thrust out of Egypt. But they were delivered through the shedding of blood. And you can be forgiven of your sin. You said, well, I've killed a man. I've been involved in drugs. I'm a drug dealer. And somebody was trying to get in my turf or whatever, and I shot this man. And they haven't found out who did it, and I'm not in jail today. But I've committed murder. Or maybe you've raped someone. Or maybe you've stolen. Or maybe you've told lies. Or maybe you've done whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you have done. God loves you. God in heaven looks down, sees you, and says in His heart, I love that person. I don't care what he's done, I love him. And John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can be forgiven of your sins. You say, I've killed someone, but God says you can be forgiven. They may catch you, they may drag you off to jail. You may have to pay the penalty down here for what you've done. But in God's eyes, you can be forgiven for those things that you've done. That's a wonderful thing, that God would show loving kindness and mercy and patience with us, to forgive us of our sins. But this chapter here says that no one can be forgiven of their sins except that God's only Son, only begotten Son, should I say, hung and died on a cross. And His blood satisfied God's righteous demands. And His blood, through faith in His blood, Paul said, we can go free. We can be forgiven of our sins. And you can be forgiven. But again, these men, they didn't understand. And so they were on their way, walking the 5 or 6 miles, however long it was. Jesus came and walked with them and got into a conversation. And they said, we trusted, verse 21, that it should have been He that should have redeemed Israel. But look at verse 25. Then said He unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And I want to say that again, that the Old Testament tells us in advance about the things of God. When you can tell the future, you're a prophet. And the Old Testament is full of prophets, full of prophecies, pointing to Jesus Christ. Thousands of years before Jesus was born, it was told exactly how he would be born, exactly what he would do. And to the letter, he fulfilled them. It said that he was going to give his life for the sins of the world. Verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all scriptures the things concerning himself. He went from Genesis all the way to Malachi and told them, look, this prophet said this, that prophet said that, and it all pointed and foretold the things that would happen to me. He went to Isaiah. He went to Jeremiah. He went to all of the prophets and showed them from the Old Testament, from the Word of God, how it was necessary that Jesus Christ would be crucified and he would rise again. And that would be the message that we could believe, that we could be forgiven of our sins and that we could go to heaven. Now, it says that they kind of got close to where they were going, and they pretty much forced him to stay and eat with them. In verse 30, and it came to pass, as he sat at meat, or sat down to eat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And they noticed the way that he took bread, and blessed it, and broke it, and then gave to everyone sitting. They realized that the way he did it, his mannerisms, they had been with him all these 3.5 years. They knew exactly how he sat down and ate. You can read it in the Gospels that he would do these things. He would take bread, he would bless it, he would thank God for it, he would break it, and he would distribute it. And they said, wait a minute. That man sitting with us, that's Jesus. They recognized him at that moment. Now, that's interesting that the angels had said at first that, hey, Jesus isn't here. He rose from the dead. Jesus himself appeared and spent about an hour or so explaining from the scriptures that he would be crucified and rise from the dead. And they heard, but they really didn't understand. They really didn't understand. But when finally they sat down to eat, and they noticed his mannerisms in the way that he served the food, or blessed the food, or whatever you want to say, they recognized him at that moment. And it says in verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. How do you like that? The moment they realize, hey, that's Jesus, he disappears. He disappears. In verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they realized, once they realized, hey, this is him, he really is alive. Then they thought back about the past hour when he was preaching from the Word of God about himself. They realized, man, God was touching my heart all the time that he was opening up the book of Malachi or whatever, wherever he happened to be teaching from. You see, just right now, as I'm preaching this message, God has been speaking to your heart, and your heart has burned within you. How do you know that, preacher? Well, because God called me to preach. This is his word that I'm preaching. I know that he's with me and on my side to preach it. And I know that the Holy Spirit has touched your heart as I've been preaching, as you've been listening to this message. And just as these men understood and recognized Christ, you can recognize him. And you can be forgiven of your sins. You can ask him into your heart. Now, I'm not going to pray a prayer over the radio, but I'm telling you that you can pray, and you should pray, that if God has spoken to you, and you know it's the Lord, that you've heard the message of forgiveness, you can be forgiven. You say, whatever situation you're in, God can help you if you'll trust in Him. If you believe Him, you put your trust in Him and ask Him to forgive you, then He will forgive you of your sins. He will come into your heart. He will change your life. He'll do this for you if you ask Him to do it. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. You can be forgiven. You can be a Christian if you want to be. The rest of this chapter, it goes on to the end. It says that He appeared with the rest of the disciples. They ate a little bit of fish. And then He again went to the Scriptures and taught them more about Christ. Taught them more about Himself. And then it says that they went out to another place called Bethany, and He went up into the sky. He went up into heaven. And He's there today, but He has His eye on you. God is alive, Jesus is alive, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And I ask that you consider giving your heart to Him today. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. Or just go to the main page and follow the links on the left, and you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.